Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Amen. This morning our meditation will be on the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the first 3 verses as follows. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. Dear friends in Christ, have you ever felt like an outsider? Perhaps some of you who began your ILC career here this year as ninth graders or first-time college entrants felt something somewhat like an outsider for the first few weeks of your stay here at Emmanuel. Perhaps you still have a bit of a lingering feeling of being an outsider. But for our graduates, the feeling might be the opposite. You got used to Emmanuel years ago, and you felt comfortable here, and you felt like you're on the inside. You're one of the ones who knows how things go. And perhaps you're thinking with a little bit of anxiety about new environments where you'll face things that are uncomfortable, that you don't know as much about, and you're not certain what to expect in your new situation. That feeling of being an outsider can lead to anxiety, even in some cases, sorrow, even deep sorrow and depression. Perhaps you've been experiencing feelings like that. I think we all do from time to time. From seeing others happy and laughing, and yourself feeling like an outsider looking in. Well, our text for today has the cure for that, and it lies in Jesus. We're reminded that Jesus of Galilee was the king of the outsiders. Those outside in sorrow, he brings into his joy. The text says, "You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." What country are they talking about? The northern part of Israel, the territory of Galilee, the tribal allotments of Zebulun and Naphtali, and those people were downtrodden. The people of Galilee throughout the centuries had lots of sorrow and very little joy. They were the first to be conquered by invading northern armies, the last to be liberated, subjected to almost constant oppression over the long centuries. Now, finally, this territory would rejoice. They would be liberated. So they would be seen in the presence of the Son of God himself. For it was to Galilee that Jesus went and where he spent the majority of his public ministry. For a sad and subjugated people, the people of Galilee, this was a glorious turnaround. You've had sorrow in your life. We all have. Perhaps you're going through something difficult right now that causes you sorrow. Perhaps it's a particular sin that's weighing on your conscience and causing you to be sad and depressed, making you feel like you're beyond the pale, outside of the kingdom of God's grace. If so, do not fear. Jesus understands you, because Jesus of Galilee was the king of the outsiders. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In fact, said Isaiah, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus, you see, was acquainted with grief, so that you and I could get well acquainted with joy. You know, even when it was time for Jesus to die, he remained an outsider. The Jews considered it sacrilege to put anyone to death inside the holy city of Jerusalem, so they took Jesus outside the city gates to Golgotha to crucify him. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Those outside in sorrow, Jesus brings into his joy. He has borne our griefs. He has brought each one of us right through the gates of the heavenly city of Jerusalem. What joy! In fact, it's hard really to picture the extent of the joy that our Savior brings us. But our text takes a stab at it. It says, they rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest. That, by the way, is a Hebrew word for joy that we've run into before. It literally means being so happy that you dance around in a circle. When was the last time you were that happy? So happy that you physically danced around in a circle. Isaiah says it's like the joy farmers feel at gathering in a particularly bountiful crop. I'll never forget an Advent service that I attended one time where Pastor John Hine in his sermon made a reference to his father, who was a wheat farmer in eastern Washington. His farm would produce about 40 to 50 bushels of wheat per acre in an average year. In a really good year, he might make 65 bushels an acre. But in the year 1980, perfect weather, abundant rain, and the nitrogen-rich fertilizer of Mount St. Helens ash combined to give him a crop the likes of which he had never even imagined, over 100 bushels an acre. Such a bumper crop that even his largest grain bin could not contain it. And when the grain began to spill over the top of his grain bin and rain down upon the ground, John says he saw his father dancing with joy in the shower of grain. Now that's an image that's going to stick with you. My Christian friends, shouldn't you and I be dancing in the grain? What's to keep us from dancing with delight with the overflow, the shower of blessings that God pours into our lives every day? Jesus, the King of the outsiders, has brought us in from sorrow into his joy. Every day, he forgives our many sins, our repeated transgressions of God's law. Every day, he continues to provide us all the things that we need, even though we're often too slothful to ask for them or to return thanks for them. Every day, he sends his mighty angels to protect us, to walk with us and keep us from danger, even though we're too blind to realize they're there. Your sins are covered. Your eternal life in heaven is guaranteed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You were outside in sorrow, but Christ has brought you into joy. You have a home waiting for you, says the hymn writer, a home of fadeless splendor, of flowers that bear no thorn, where they shall dwell as children who here as exiles mourn, midst power that knows no limit, where knowledge has no bound, the beatific vision shall glad the saints around. Amen. We'll conclude with stanzas 1, 4, and 8 of hymn 523. 523, 1, 4, and 8.